hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and talking down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. But you're running down my country, man. You're walking on the right beside me. Just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in a fought and died key. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you run down my country, man, you're walking on the right beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me, and that's the name of this program here on AltRightTV.com or WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people, and of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Now, 22 people died this past weekend at the hands of a gunman in Nova Scotia. I talked about that a little bit yesterday, and this is really very sad, but death toll questions mount in Nova Scotia, and there's a lot of questions about what happened, maybe the disorganized RCMP response, but well, actually, there are 23 dead, including the gunman. Things are not going to be very good for the people who are mourning their dead. And many of these people, many of the dead, in fact, probably almost all of them, lived in small communities in north and east and western Nova Scotia. And these are kind of tightly knit communities. And many of the people have known each other for many, many years. While of course all human loss is sad, these communities particularly often with extended families would want to mourn their dead, and that's not going to be possible, well, not in anything like the traditional sense. And once again, I've got a question, the judgment of the authorities. Funerals are not going to be allowed to have more than 5 people there. Now, in many cases, this is utterly irrational. In many cases, even the near family would be more than five people. And this imposes additional misery on these people. In most of the cases, they didn't even know the gunman. He first of all killed his ex-girlfriend and her parents, as I understand it. And there were several other people he did know. Most of them were people he'd never known. And so families have to deal with this sudden, irrational madness that has come into their lives. Traditionally, one of the dead was Constable Heidi Stevenson. There would normally be a full police funeral as she died in the line of duty. There'd be representatives from law enforcement agencies across the country and from the United States. That obviously that's not going to happen. Nova Scotia's chief medical officer of health, Dr. Robert Strang, outlined the reality of mourning on Monday. Quote, under the public health rules, funerals or memorial services can happen for immediate family, said Strang. They can get together in numbers of five or less. Five or less. As well. And rules are around social distancing need to be respected. Funeral directors around the province were told what services they could and could not provide for five mourners of each victim. For the rest of us, the larger extended family, Strang said, unfortunately, we're going to have to ask people to remember and to mourn virtually. You know, I think it's on what, Facebook, YouTube. Couldn't there be a reasonable compromise? And you know, putting intelligent heads together, couldn't there be a reasonable compromise? Let me suggest. At a church service, you space people out 6 feet apart, every other pew. So I think it would be possible to have a reasonably sized congregation in a church for the funeral. If more people come, could it not be held outdoors? Now, you know, of course, weather permitting. Couldn't intelligent compromise occur here? And, you know, hopefully people, you know, would respect the fact they shouldn't be hugging and so on, unless they're very, very close family members. It's as if everything is done that's possible to add to the misery of people today. Well, this is Paul Frommett. Well, there's so much happening here. This story was covered, but not very well, by most of the country's media. And this is the infection of a Cargill-owned meatpacking plant in High River, Alberta. High River has become the hotspot for COVID-19 in Alberta, with hundreds of infections tied to one of Canada's largest slaughterhouses. Health officials said that as of Friday, 358 cases in High River and elsewhere in the region were linked to the Cargill facility. Many of the workers at the Cargill Limited plant are new immigrants or temporary foreign workers whose jobs and shared living spaces make them especially vulnerable to infection. At least one worker is on a ventilator, and the union for the plant says others are struggling with serious illnesses. Something you might not have caught there. Many of the workers at the plant are new immigrants or temporary foreign workers. And that's true of other slaughterhouses or meatpacking plants. One in Brooks, Alberta, another in Brandon, Manitoba, and that one's owned by Maple Leaf Foods. And a couple questions here. Temporary foreign workers. As far back as 2014, before the end of the Harper Conservative government, the then Minister of Immigration, our own Jason Kenney, him, the new Premier of Alberta, Jason Kenney, under tremendous pressure, vowed to reform the Temporary Foreign Workers Program. Now, the Temporary Foreign Workers Program is just what it sounds like, temporary foreign workers. And people, employers cry the blues and say, we just can't get any Canadians. There's all sorts of ways to scam that program. We can't get any Canadians. You know, like you could put ads for workers in an ethnic newspaper, and then say, well, we advertised three times, but nobody came for it. Anyway, it became notorious that there were Canadian businesses that were firing longtime Canadian staff, or laying them off, and bringing in temporary foreign workers. Why? Because it's cheaper. Well, when there is significant unemployment, and there is still, before this coronavirus disaster, we had about 6.1% official unemployment. So, okay, you've got significant unemployment. There is no possible reason to bring in temporary foreign workers. Now, that was supposed to have been reformed. So when I read here, the National Post report was the only paper I'm aware of that pointed out this kind of important fact. That many of the workers at the Cardinal Limited plant are new immigrants or temporary foreign workers. Well, what's a temporary foreign worker doing taking a job that should belong to a Canadian? Oh yes, and new immigrants. Well, I'm told that another report had them as mostly coming from the Philippines. Why is COVID virus spreading so fast? Well, there may be several reasons. One of them, though, is that many foreigners don't have the same hygiene standards we do. It's a cultural thing. In North America, we've been raised from, the time we were children, with mom's advice to wash your hands, before you come to the supper table. After being out playing, mom would always, ask, have you washed your hands? It's a ritual before dinner. It's something young people are brought up with. It isn't part of every culture. Now, that's a factor. Anyway, the report goes on. High River is in the foothills country, which has more cases than Edmonton. A city that has more than 10 times its population. High River is a bedroom community just south and west of Calgary that has 13,000 people. They've got over 358 cases in the town. That's colossal. They've got more cases than Edmonton, Alberta, that has a population of 1 million. Yeah, there's something seriously wrong. And the chief medical officer of health said that the infections quickly spread among large households, and a large settlement agency said that temporary foreign workers often live together in large groups. Question, what are temporary foreign workers doing there in the first place? The Seasons High River Retirement Home, which includes nursing care, said five staff members tested positive, but no residents have been infected. Four of the infected staff live with cargo workers. Comes back to maybe unsuitable immigration. Thomas Hess, president of the United Food and Commercial Workers Local 401, said many of the plant's employees are either temporary foreign workers or new Canadians, for whom English is a second language, though he didn't know how many would fit into those categories. Once again, can these people, are we selecting people who can fit in? I mean, if you can't fully understand safety instructions like wash your hands, social distance yourself as much as possible, wash your hands frequently, you cannot function. Mr. Hess said North American packing facilities are designed around efficiency and social proximity, not social distancing. Well, it's not so much social proximity, it's for everybody to chum together. It's an assembly line. A cargo worker who is being recovering at home since he and his spouse became sick and tested positive for COVID-19 said he's afraid to return without assurances from the company that the plant is safe. The Globe and Mail agreed not to identify the worker who's worried that speaking publicly could jeopardize his job. Well, we really live in a culture of fear. I think I misidentified this. This is actually a report in the Globe and Mail. Since that report, that was on Monday, the cargo has temporarily suspended operations there. Here is another outrage that I want to share. And this involves a city member of parliament named Derek Sloan, who is one of four people who has been qualified, in the sense he's jumped through the necessary hoops, to run for the Conservative Party leadership, which is supposed to be decided in June, whether that will still be the case or not. He put out a tweet and a short video that has caused a lot of controversy. So rather than tell you about it, I will simply read it. Fire Theresa Tam. And this was a tweet sent out on April 21st. Dr. Theresa Tam, Canada's Chief Medical Officer of Health, has prioritized the World Health Organization over the health of Canadians. She is one of seven physicians on a WHO oversight committee whose job is to prevent politics from interfering with what happens during health emergencies. Like many things involving the UN, this sounds good in theory, but it doesn't work in practice. The truth is that the WHO serves the Communist Party of the People's Republic of China. It was the People's Republic of China who installed Margaret Chan, the former Director General of WHO from 2007 to 2017. Chan was a former Director of Health for the Hong Kong government and was widely criticized for her unsatisfactory performance in handling the SARS outbreak, which also originated in Red China. This was back in 2003. It was also the People's Republic of China that installed WHO's current Director General, Tedros, at Hanom, the first Director General of the WHO who does not hold a medical degree. It's like, I'm the head of the engineering department, but I'm an English scholar. Don't know the first thing about engineering. you wonder, are we living in a nut, in an insane asylum? Tedros' political resume includes covering up the cholera epidemics in his native Ethiopia. This was while serving as Minister of Health in the Marxist Tigray People's Liberation Front Party government. The WHO has been a puppet of the People's Republic of China for over a decade. And that's what, who else says that? Well, POTUS, I mean the President of the United States, Donald Trump, says that. On January 14th, the WHO cited Chinese government propaganda in asserting that the virus doesn't spread from person to person. That disinformation allowed the virus to spread globally. Countries like Canada continued to allow flights from Wuhan, believing that there was no danger. Who was parroting the WHO party line? Theresa Tam. Donald Trump did the right thing when he cut off funding to the WHO. He'd seen enough of the corruption. But what about Canada? Our chief public health officer, Dr. Theresa Tam, has continually cited the WHO as an authority. Dr. Tam said face masks don't work. That's not true. Well, actually, what was said, what the party line was, they're not completely effective, and therefore we shouldn't use them. Or also, they stigmatize people. Well, no, they're not 100% effective. Virtually nothing is, but they are part of a toolkit of measures that can be taken. And Sloan's, Derek Sloan's email continues. Tam said closing the borders to travelers arriving from virus hotspots wouldn't work. That's not true. She spent the month of January echoing the WHO's or World Health Organization's contention that anyone worried about the virus was indulging in, you'll never guess, racism. That's right, racism. If you're worried about the virus coming from China, you're a racist. Well, that's what she was saying. Yeah, that's what the trust fund kid, our prime minister, was saying. Canada needed a chief medical officer who would investigate all the pertinent information and then recommend policies to protect Canadians. But instead we got Dr. Tam, who dutifully repeats the propaganda of the Communist Party of China's government, obsessed with political control and saving face. She does this because she's involved with an organization, the WHO, which is effectively controlled by that government. Dr. Tam must now either resign or be fired. Canada's chief medical officer of health needs to work for Canada, not for the WHO or any other foreign entity. Well, you would have thought that such a sensible statement would be okay. There's just absolute crazy insanity about this. And I'm going to try to get you the trying to get you his short little message that pretty much added to this, has created an even greater controversy with all sorts of howls about racism. Here I think we've got a very useful concept. It's not original with me. It's developed by and circulated by Jared Taylor of American Renaissance, and that is the notion of race realism, recognizing race as a factor. Is not, I mean, racist is a negative pejorative term. It kind of vague what it exactly means, but you get the idea. It's not a good thing. Race realism says, well, race is a factor in human behavior. A race realist takes that into account. Race is a factor. It's not the only factor, but it is a factor. And recognizing that doesn't mean you hate anybody. Racist is always a caricature of a person. Okay, I am going to try to get this for you because it's extremely well done, and this is one of the problems with this. Program. We don't. Not the radio program, but sometimes we don't always have things laid out quite the way we would like, and all that easy to find. I'm going to try again here. See if we can't find it here. This is a member of parliament, Derek Sloan, and he is running for the Conservative Party leadership as well. Okay, we're having our. What I'm going to do in the meantime is I'm going to play another extremely good broadcast, and that has. This is the latest from Ezra Levant about Dr. Sloan, wanting to know how she voted in this matter of directing the response to but of course the World Health Organization to the coronavirus epidemic, and seeing that it would be a scientific and not a political one. There's considerable reason to think that she kind of let us down on that one. Secret ballot of the WHO. How did Dr. Theresa Tan vote?
But I've learned something new since then, and I think it's a blockbuster, maybe. And I just sent an email to Theresa Tan's office asking for her to answer and explain. I'll let you know if I get an explanation. It's a story from the Guardian newspaper in the United Kingdom. That's a lefty newspaper, but sometimes they do interesting work, no matter what your political stripe. This is one of those times. Here's the story here. Caught in a superpower struggle. The inside story of the WHO's response to coronavirus. Caught between the US and China, the World Health Body has been unable to enforce compliance or information sharing. So they framed it as the US versus China. In some ways that's right, but only in the same way that you have policemen versus rubbers, or firemen versus a fire. They're opposites, but they're not morally equal to each other. Dr. Fauci, Donald Trump's chief health advisor, he has his politics, and you can agree or disagree with him, but I don't think anyone would doubt that he's being candid and transparent and acting in good faith. As in, even if he's mistaken on something, he's trying to do what he thinks is right. Call me naive, but I believe that. Trump seems to, obviously, as well. Whereas, whoever is the Chinese equivalent to Dr. Fauci, well, there could be no such thing. Fauci goes on countless media interviews and says what he thinks. He has no minder checking up on him, no censor. I suppose Trump could fire him if he wanted to, but he doesn't seem to want to. I don't think for a second that Fauci would hesitate to disagree with Trump if his heart or mind told him to. I don't think Fauci would lie for Trump. There's no one like that in China. There just isn't. There's no counterpart. They don't have a free press. I'm sure there is a medical expert who actually gives advice to Xi Jinping, but he would do so in private so as not to embarrass the dictator or cause him to lose face. And even then, there's a risk of telling the truth to an omnipotent tyrant. If you think the news will upset a tyrant, you don't want to say it. It's hard to speak truth to power at all. I can imagine it would be very hard to criticize Donald Trump. But Trump will not kill you or send you and your family to an internment camp if you offend him. He'll give you a mean nickname, maybe, and that's about it. I mean, Trump keeps letting Jim Acosta of CNN ask questions almost every day. He seems to like it, maybe. You ask one gotcha attack question like that to Xi Jinping, and it's off to the gulag for you. So my point is, it's not a battle at the WHO between two teams, like a sports match. It's between medical doctors and public health officers acting in good faith and honesty and transparency, the Western democracy way, and one big murderous dictatorship that cares about saving face and tamping down unrest at all costs. To equate the two would be like equating firemen and a fire. Okay. That's just my thoughts on the headline, but back to the Guardian story. This is interesting. Remember, throughout January, the WHO was repeating the Chinese lie that the virus was not contagious. Here's a killer tweet. I call it a killer tweet because it surely led to many deaths from people who trusted it. Anyways, here's what The Guardian says happened on January 22nd and 23rd. Apparently there was a battle raging within the WHO about whether or not to tell the truth and declare a global health emergency, a public health emergency of international concern, as they call it. The debate raged on for 2 days within the WHO, but the agency was deadlocked. China insisted the virus wasn't contagious, but other countries' doctors insisted it was. Let me quote. China argued against declaring an emergency on 22 January, but could not have carried the argument alone. And for the vote to have been split, several Western or Western-aligned representatives must have voted with Beijing. Voting on whether or not the virus will kill you. But are you with me there? So there's only 15 countries in the world who had a representative on that particular committee called the IHR Emergency Committee for the COVID-19 Outbreak. So this is the big committee. Only 15 countries. So it's a different committee than the other one Theresa Tam was on. 15 countries in the whole world, and Canada was one of them, and Canada's representative was Theresa Tam. There she is at the end of the list of members. Now, how each country voted on January 23rd is apparently a secret, if I'm reading this Guardian story correct. Like so much of what the WHO and other UN agencies do, it's secret. But neither possibility is any good. If Tam voted along with China to lie about the virus and to continue to falsely claim that the virus was not contagious from person to person, she was a party to one of the deadliest political outrages in modern times, possibly a crime. But if she voted against China, and I hope she did, if she voted against China and for publishing the truth about the virus, but was blocked by China, in some ways that's just as bad. Because that means she would have known how bad things were in the WHO. She would have seen firsthand how China was manipulating and blocking the facts using politics, corrupting the science using votes at the UN. And yet she still went on to parrot the WHO line in public and other deceptions. How did she vote in this committee? Did she vote at all? We'll have to find out. I've asked her. I mean, seriously, how much time is Dr. Tam devoting to the UN's WHO and their shenanigans versus attending to her business, you know, her real job here in Canada? But how did she vote? At that key meeting, did she vote with China to keep the cover-up going? Before she voted, did she seek input and approval from Trudeau or his advisors first? What did they tell her to do? And why did she keep all this a secret as thousands died around the world? Don't you see? The WHO isn't good. It's actually evil. Japan's deputy prime minister said it should be called the China Health Organization, not the World Health Organization. Taiwan knows that pretty well too. But here in Canada, we're still following the WHO. Tam sure does. Trudeau does. That's an excerpt from my daily show, The Ezra Levant Show. Every day I do a monologue on the news of the day, then I interview an interesting guest, and then I read my...
Well, that was Ezra Levant's update on Tam, and I am still trying to get the little commentary by Derek Sloan, which was extremely good. And I'm going to play it because this created just a huge furor today with all sorts of anti-racists saying, well, they want party leader Andrew Scheer to denounce him or to... and some conservative MPs have denounced them. These are the red Tories. Andrew Scheer kind of sidestepped that on the basically say, well, look, the party members will decide. There's a leadership race, and they will end up deciding. Now, we're going to see if we can get far out of the just sort of quoting a part of what he said. It would be good here we are. This he posted this on Facebook. And, okay. Perhaps we can get the sound to work and all will be well here. So,
Hi, I'm Derek Sloan, Conservative Party of Canada leadership candidate, member of Parliament for Hastings, Lennox, and Addington. I don't know about you, but I have been disgusted by the way that Justin Trudeau and his team has handled the coronavirus pandemic. For one, they were late on almost every count to institute travel bans, to recommend wearing masks, initially talking about the virus and suggesting that it was from China was considered racist. One of the issues with Justin Trudeau's handling of this situation has been his reliance on the advice of Dr. Theresa Tam. Theresa Tam, we sent an email out today asking, does she work for Canada or for China? And I encourage you to read that email. There's some interesting information in there. It was Dr. Theresa Tam who is on a special panel on the World Health Organization right now. She also parrots their information at every available opportunity. We know for a fact that China covered up many details concerning the coronavirus outbreak. There's been a study that was done in England that suggested if China had come out with the truth, we could have potentially avoided up to 90% of the cases that we have today. The World Health Organization parroted Chinese misinformation coming out from the Communist Party of China, and basically what they said was that no, there's no human-to-human transmission when they knew very well that there was. They said, no, there's no reason to have travel bans when, in fact, the countries that did early travel bans were very successful in keeping the number of cases at bay. Theresa Tam followed the World Health Organization every step along the way. She accused Canadians who were concerned about this virus initially for being racist. She also suggested that travel bans were unnecessary. And as late as January 14th, she suggested that human-to-human transmission of the coronavirus was not happening when very credible evidence suggested that it was. China has been responsible, the Communist Party of China has been responsible for installing the current head of the World Health Organization, the first head who is not, in fact, a medical doctor and has been accused of covering up cholera epidemics in Ethiopia, his native country. It is time we put Canadians first. It is time we had a plan to get the economy opened up and get things going. Other countries have teams in place looking at when and how to open up the economy and get things going. We have been last to respond on every single element of this coronavirus outbreak, and we are not even thinking about what to do to open up our economy again. Please read my email today. Thank you so much for watching this video. And don't forget to follow me on Facebook and Twitter.
And that's Derek Sloan. He's running for the leadership of the Conservative Party of Canada. I will be reading something else, another statement of his policy statement later in the next show. And I see a lot in his campaign that's good. He is marketing himself as a true blue conservative, and I have no reason to doubt that. Another sore point in terms of Canada's connection with the WHO is Bruce Aylward, and he's a Canadian doctor, and he's a team leader with the WHO he was part of a joint mission between the WHO and Communist China, so a conduit of information. He actually hung up on a reporter who asked him about the fact that Taiwan, which is Chinese, has been very effective at handling the coronavirus, preventing it from spreading very far, containing what did arrive, and keeping the economy going. You can go to restaurants, you can go to bars, schools are open. Yeah, yes, the desks are set a little bit further apart, but life did not virtually stop. Well, anyway, this reporter asked Bruce Aylward this, and he hung up on her. Matt Genereux is a conservative member of the Parliamentary Committee on Health, and he had wanted Aylward to show up as a witness. And he's a Canadian. Works closely with WHO. He might have something to say. Genereux had several facts he wanted to ask Aylward about, and that he and the fact that he decided not to come and hide from any accountability is a bit of a scandal. Genereux continued. There's simply no doubt that the WHO has been slow to recommend concrete measures that have negatively affected Canada's response to the virus. In fact, the WHO had gone above and beyond to congratulate and thank China for their response, which really was to mislead the world. Genereux said Taiwan had managed to flatten the curve of the virus, but the WHO won't acknowledge its accomplishments because it doesn't want to anger China. Because China, of course, considers Taiwan as simply a rebel province. Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me. I'm going to play something a little more cheerful here. And this is a great country and western singer and the man from Bakersfield. In fact, he brought the Bakersfield sound to Nashville. Sometimes the city was so closely associated with him, it was called humorously Buckersfield. This is Buck Owens. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side.
They're gonna put me in the movies. They're gonna make a big star out of me. We'll make a film about a man that's sad and lonely. And all I gotta do is act naturally. Well, I'll bet you I'm gonna be a big star. Might win an Oscar, you can't never tell. The movie's gonna make me a big star, 'cause I can play the part so well. Well, I hope you come see me in the movie. Then I know that you will plainly see like naturally. We'll make a scene about a man that's sad and lonely, and begging down upon his bended knee. I'll play the part, but I won't need rehearsing. All I'll have to do is act naturally. Well, I'll bet you I'm gonna be a big star. I'd win an Oscar, you can't never tell. The movie's gonna make me a big star, 'cause I can play the part so well. Well, I hope you come see me in the movie, and then I know that you will plainly see naturally. Oh, the sun's gonna shine in my life once more. Love's gonna live here again. singing that I was gonna live here again. I hear bees a humming and I know the days are coming that I was gonna live here again. That I was gonna live here. That I was gonna live here. That I was gonna live here. Thank you. field. I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me. Well, I'm a losing weight and I'm turning mighty pale. Looks like I've got a tiger by the tail.
Nothing else matters. we're together again. And nothing else matters. We're together again.
This is Paul Fromm, and you're on The Fighting Side of Me. Back with you again tomorrow, and I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on The Fighting Side of Me, here on Alt-Right TV or WhiteResistanceRadio.com.
In days of yore from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our gold star pride and joined in love together. The thistle shamrock rose entwine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. Our fair dominion now extend.